Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Today, we're with the number five ranked member of the Iowa Hawkeyes and Iowa starting kicker, Caleb Shudak. How's everything with you?
It's great. How are you guys?
We're good. So we're recording this on Monday. The Iowa State game was on Saturday, this past Saturday. We got to dive into this first. How good did it feel to bring this trophy back home one more time?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, it's an Iowa State game. It's always huge. I mean, for us, it's a big game because, you know, especially this year, they're such a great team. But, yeah, coming home and not losing to them, you know, this is year six for me. Yeah, it just felt great. I didn't want to go in that last year and, you know, lose that way. So yeah,
I was gonna say right away, Kirk made a little joke in the post game, and he was joking like he doesn't even know how old you are. It was just like he doesn't know how many years you've been on the team, and you've 5 years, five times you guys have beaten them. It's like, how many other classes? I'm sure you guys have some idea. Like, how many other classes have done that and beat them? I mean, granted, I think you're an exception because you've been there a little longer than most, but five is pretty sweet. Five in a row and haven't beat them.
Yeah, I don't know if that's happened since like maybe the early 2000s, but yeah, it's been awesome. You know, it's one of those trophies you want to keep in the building.
Yeah. Now, what's that conversation like with your dad, who used to kick for Iowa State as well? Is it like bittersweet for him to see you just constantly pummel him year after year, or is it just like he sees you on Iowa and it's just makes everything worthwhile?
I think it's a little bittersweet at first, you know. He had so much success at Iowa State, and you know, I grew up being an Iowa State fan, so we kind of would watch games on Saturdays and root for Iowa State. But you know, kind of seeing how much fun I've had here and how great my experience has been, he's all for it. He roots Hawkeyes every weekend. He loves it. So
I kind of want to talk about this early part of the season. So first game of the year, destroy Indiana at home, just absolutely blow them out. Then you're going into this game, second game of the year. It's College Game Day, and it's also Iowa State Cy-Hawk Week. So what was the preparation like within the team, and what was the mentality of your teammates, of yourself, going into this week and then getting to Ames and being like, okay, this is the first Cy-Hawk game in 2 years. It's game day. Like, this is sick, but we got to win.
Yeah, so jumping on the atmosphere first. So, like, a lot of the guys on our team, I think we had – over 70% of the team hasn't done spring ball before. So yeah, that was my fifth spring ball, and most guys hadn't even done one. So then the guys that were here last year, they haven't seen fans. They played in front of, you know, our parents and the other team's parents, and that was about it. You know, eerie quiet in stadiums. You know, you go to Penn State and you see 100 people in the stadium, and then they walk out to Kinnick and you can't hear yourself think because your helmet's shaking because everybody's so loud. But yeah, like, so, you know, I think having the fans so loud to kick on the Indiana game was kind of helped everybody figure out, okay, this is a real deal. Like, that's what's going to be something we have to take into account this week. So yeah, we practiced with speakers everywhere, blasted music during practice and stuff. So it's kind of make it harder to communicate and, you know, kind of simulate a little bit. You can't really do it because, you know, it's so intense, but no, we kind of did that. And then, yeah, it was all week. It was, hey guys, you know, our first two games this year are going to be like, we were going to test ourselves right away. There's no room to, you know, jack around. And I mean, I don't know if I can cuss on this, but yeah.
You can swear.
Can't fuck around at all. Like, older guys like us, we're like, hey, you know, we want to be a good team. These first two games are fucking important. We got to put our heads down and get to work. Like, there's no time to – we can't be doing what we did against, I think it was Purdue last year. I think we had like three turnovers, some false starts that cost us some drives, and gave up some big plays. So I was like, hey, guys, we can't be doing that if we want to be a good team. So just reiterate that in every meeting, every practice, and making sure, like, everybody's on their shit, you know, whether that's, you know, being on their body weight or being to meetings or class on time, even, you know, there's no room to fuck around.
Yeah. So one thing I want to ask you about the first game is, what was it like coming out onto the field? Cause I was there, I was at the game, and I was sitting pretty up front in the student section. I went early with some buddies, cause I was like, it's the first game back, got to go early. And when some of the special teams guys came out, I think it was you, Charlie Jones, Tori, and you guys weren't even in your uniforms yet. You guys were in warmups, like stretching and stuff, I think. The stadium just roared. Like, That was like a whole swarm in itself. Like, I thought that was cool. Like, that was like the old game day atmosphere. This is like a whole new like energy that was brought, and everybody just kept cheering when each group of guys came out, and then you had the big one. So what was the energy like in the tunnel and stuff when you guys were waiting to come out? Like, can you kind of talk through like what that was like?
You could really feel some like, you know, that adrenaline. Usually, you know, looking back is like when you kind of go out for the swarm, you start, you know, getting that adrenaline pumping, you start feeling like the crowd. But no, this year is different. Like you said, we walked out there for our primer, where, you know, we're getting loose, we don't have our pads on or anything. I mean, it sounded like there were 60,000 people in the stands already. I'm like, people are like, this is what it's like. I'm like, no, this is unreal. I mean, maybe I forgot, but no, it was like you get out there and it was just the student section. There was, I think I was like half full already. Like, oh my God, all right, we're ready to go. So that was pretty cool. And it was intense. You know, we got out there for warm-ups. We go out like 80 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
And I look up and I'm like, guys, there's never been this many people in the stadium at, you know, 90 minutes before kickoff. So yeah, it was.
That's what I was thinking too. Cause I was like, people go early, but I didn't remember it being that packed. And then when everybody yelled for your group and then for the wide receiver group that came out, it just like erupted. And I was like, yeah. Warm-ups, like, it's pretty chill. Like, there's just music. Like, people aren't really screaming. And I just, the screams that were coming out, I was like, this is like Kinnick reborn. But the other question I have for you, and I was just curious, like, from your, you know, from what you've seen of other teams watching games or whatever, do you think a COVID season is a real thing in college football? Like, some of the teams that might have excelled last year playing with no fans might have had, you know, like a season where it's like, you know, some teams did better than others, like, you know, early on, and then just kind of rolled with the COVID season and other teams struggled. Or do you think that's not really a thing?
I think, you know, the first game you can look at is a little different for everybody. Like, once you kind of got that, you kind of felt that atmosphere, got what it was like, I think it was really a normal season for everybody else. Like for us, it was weird going to Purdue and just, you know, I could hear a pin drop during a play. I'm like, this is kind of eerie. It's hard to kind of get that, like, almost a game day mindset. So it kind of took a little bit more. You had to do a little more, you know, mental work just to get yourself a little amped up. You know, some guys, like, I'm sure the linemen and linebackers have to, you know, be kind of juiced up to go out and hit somebody running full speed. But, yeah, they, you know, you don't have that with the fans. You don't have that energy. You know, you don't have that adrenaline. So, like, that first game for us especially was interesting, kind of, you know, getting used to that. But then after that, it was pretty normal for everybody. You know, you go in there, it's a game day mindset. It was, this is important. It's all about performing. You got to play ready to win.
So we just talked about the first game, second game, Iowa State. And one of the first opportunities for Iowa to score was a 50-yarder. And it was a high snap, obviously a little sequencing, or just the timing was off. My question to you, and it's a pretty simple answer, and you can swear on here, what is the first word that goes into your mind when you see that, just the ball just is a little higher than usual? First word,
my first word would be fuck, because I saw Ryan stand up a little bit and I go, oh, this, I was like, do I look backwards, the ball go over his head? And I'm like, and then I'm like, then I go, all right, I gotta slow down. And next thing I know, it's like, it all happened so fast. I'm like, fuck, I was a little fast. Ryan did a good job getting it down. But yeah, first word, I'm just, oh fuck.
And was there anything in your mind after that? Because obviously, you know, from the jump, like right from the beginning of that sequencing, it was off. Did you have anything in your mind that was like, all right, like that was that, we got to keep going? Because later in the game, you had another big kick. But what kind of, what was going through your mind, especially in that environment? I would assume that Cy-Hawk game kind of had that same feeling for the Iowa Indiana, where there was just a heightened, like it sounded louder than it really ever has been before.
Yeah. Yeah. So like there's a, we had a lot of like ownership, our team beyond specialists, there's just a lot of accountability and ownership on what we all do. So like after that rep, we knew, like Austin would tell you, first minute, say not his best snap. Ryan, you know, got the ball down, not his best hole. I think he would agree. And then I could have done a better job slowing down. But after that, we, you know, we all know, we talked to each other and, you know, hey, this is what happened. This is what we felt. Okay. Boom. It wasn't just you, it was me too. And then, you know, I think that's kind of how it was with our whole team, you know. Our defense has done a great job helping our offense out with field position. And then our offense has scored when they need to score. So, and then special teams does a good job with, you know, Torrey getting a good field position and Charlie getting good returns. So yeah, he's just going out there and trusting each other. Hey, it happened, but we're pretty good. we're gonna go out there, we're gonna make the next one count. So
you bring up Charlie Jones, and that's a name that a lot of people who maybe didn't watch last year as closely as they should have, they didn't really know. Now I'd say a lot of people know his name. Is in practice, camp, whatever, how, like, did he ever give up on a ball? Or I feel like he just wants to take everything that hits his hand six, because I feel like he is fearless and he wants the ball every single time on a return. Is that frustrating for a kicker, or is it just, what can you do?
I think it's like what you can do. I'm sure for opposing punters, it's like, come on, I hit a great ball, you should fair catch that. But no, that's Torrey's the same thing in practice. Like, he's going to, you know, take the risk, but, you know, he's a good enough athlete, practices hard enough that I think he's confident in our, you know, the punt returns whole unit as a, you know, as a group, as a whole. They block well and, you know, give him room and opportunities to take those kind of risks. So yeah, I'm sure it's frustrating for opposing coaches or opposing punters, but no, I'm all for it.
So one question I love asking kickers, and you've been doing kickoff specials for a long time. Have you had many instances where you have players, defensive players, shadow you or just try to intimidate you? They come down next to you and they're just like whispering in your ear horrible things that you can't repeat, or actually you can, but do you ever have that, or is it just completely you've never had that experience?
In close games, you'll hear that a little bit. I'm not going to go like what teams, but yeah, we have close games where it's like, I get a lot of, so I'm probably the smallest guy on the field. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that, but now I get a lot of that. And so I get a lot of short jokes, you know, midget here and there, like, oh, what do you do on the football field? You're not a football player. And but no, I think it's all fun and games, because, you know, we're all trying to win, so the emotions are high, but it's kind of fun to hear. But yeah, it's a little chirpy, and, you know, I'll give it back a little bit, just especially if we're winning.
Well, yeah, and then kind of go on top of that, I'm curious, do kickers look up on YouTube like best kicker hits off kickoffs or something, and just like kind of get an idea of like how to throw their body as hard as they can into a returner, or what? Or you don't worry about that scenario until it happens?
Yeah, I don't usually worry about it until it happens. I was a linebacker in high school, so like I kind of have a semi idea how to hit somebody. But no, I mean, I've come across like Pat McAfee's highlights where, you know, the dude has like 21 NFL tackles. I mean, that's unreal, and some of them are pretty big hits. So I mean, I've come across those, and I'm like, all right, you know, sometimes it's just gotta put your body out there on the line. But
you know, do you ever selfishly just, now this is an awful question, but I'm going to ask it. Obviously you wouldn't ever want this, but on the off chance in a hypothetical blue moon scenario, are you licking your chops when you see someone coming up the sideline and you're like, all right, I got a good shot on him here? Or are you just like, man, I don't know.
I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, hey, he might not see me coming. So I mean, I'm going to give him everything I got. Hopefully that's just knocks him out, especially on the sideline too. I don't have to like entirely like knock him on his ass. He's just gonna go out of bounds and get the tackle. But no, I'm like, oh, I got a full head of steam. He won't see me, he won't put his shoulder down, let's go.
And then one last thing, just for the kickoff specialist, and I wonder if you have an opinion on it, do you have any opinion on if kickoffs that go through the uprights should be points? Like, do you think that should be added? Because I think that's something that should be added.
I think if it did get added, it'd be an interesting thing, because then we'd, so we're a directional team. I'm going to kick right or left. That's just what we do. If that added, you know, I think you start having guys trained to like literally just do that. And you know, you'd see some of the best kickoff guys, some of them have the biggest legs. They'd obviously be more, you know, highly recruited. They'd probably get paid more in the NFL if that was a thing too. So yeah, I'm all for it, just because I think I have the ability to do it.
I think you have the ability to, and that's an X factor, definitely.
It'd be fun to be able to go out there and be like, hey, we got an extra point just because you put one through the uprights. I'm like, I'm going to try to do it every time then.
I have another question about this season, then I'll dive into your career a little bit at Iowa. But I want to ask you, you know, number five ranking right now. I mean, obviously the students are hyped. Like, people are posting all over the place, just so hyped about where Iowa's at right now and having two top 25 wins already this early in the year. And now playing some mid-major schools the next 2 weeks and then getting back into Big Ten play. What's kind of been the energy now with the team? Like, I'm sure everybody's excited, but like, how is everybody trying to stay focused kind of in the moment week to week? Like, how are you guys kind of zoning in and not letting the ranking kind of get to you this early on as a team?
Yeah. So yeah, we've been talking about just, this is the best start we could have. You know, obviously you want to win your first two games. So like, yeah, they're big wins, but you know, I think kind of last week it kind of showed, as we've been telling, especially some of the younger guys with a little bit less experience, it's, these rankings really, they're kind of just subjective, and they don't really matter. I wouldn't say they don't matter. They're, you know, they're cool to have around to kind of light a little fire on some guys, like, hey, this is cool, I'm playing for a top five team. But also it's like you had guys, teams like I think it was Notre Dame. They were ranked top 10. They played Toledo and comes down to a last second touchdown. Somebody else in the top 10 had a close game with another, I wouldn't say like big, you know, big name school. I'm trying to blanking, but you know, we just remind us like it's gonna.
I think it was A&M. A&M went down to the wire with Colorado.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, I don't know how good Colorado is. I haven't seen them play at all, but like, hey guys, like just because we're ranked doesn't mean we're not beatable. Like, so it's every day we got to come to work, you know, play our best football. That's our goal, is play best football Saturday and then come back the next day, see what we did wrong, improve so we can play better the next Saturday. So I think that's just what we've been the coach has been reiterating. It's just take it one practice at a time, one rep at a time, and just try to make that your best rep so that Saturday you're ready to go.
Yeah, you've been on a lot of Iowa teams the last couple of years. So one thing I wanted to ask you about was what kind of have you seen in your last couple of years? Where have you seen the team transition and grow? And that could be, you know, from a special team standpoint, offensive standpoint, defensive standpoint. But where have you kind of seen the team, you know, learn from its mistakes in previous years and then kind of adjust where you're seeing this success now?
Oh, maybe so. I can't speak for like other classes and stuff, but so being maybe just because I was younger, but you know, getting a little older, last couple of years, I've seen just more like growth outside of football. You see guys, you know, bonding more, communicating better outside of football, and then that translates to the field. A lot more like there's trust within the program. Everybody's open about like what they're feeling, why they feel that way, and the communication's been. I mean, this is probably one of the closest teams I've been a part of. I can't say if that's just because I'm older, you know, being, you know, kind of have a more experienced role. But no, I think it's just the communication, the bonding of all players. Like I'm good friends with Jack Campbell. He's a linebacker, you know. I mean, freshman year, I probably wouldn't have said the same thing about like Bo Bauer, you know. Great dude, but we didn't hang out with each other. That's just, I don't know. But I was also because I was probably a younger guy. But yeah, that's kind of what I've seen and what I feel. But yeah, I can't speak for some of the other guys that have gone through the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. So,
yeah. And so this is kind of a life question, but you're studying engineering at Iowa, and I connected with you through our mutual friend, Jordan Strauss, shout out Jordan Strauss. And I know from personal experience, seeing my friends study engineering, it is not an easy major and it's not something to do lightly. It's not light work by any means. So how do you balance football and that type of work? Because that's work that you really have to put the time into. So how have you gone about that in your football career here?
That took me, you know, a couple of years to kind of figure out. So I think my first semester, I had like a 2.7. I was like, call my mom after the semester. Hey, mom, I don't know if I can do this. High school, you kind of cruise along, show up, you get an A. That's just how it was. I was like, oh, college would be like that. Took chemistry, PCHEM 1, and I realized, wow, I'm not ready for this. So, you know, I get to finals week, and I need like a 40 out of 40 on the final to pass class, and I'm sitting there like, I can't do this. So, but no, it took a lot of time to figure out kind of like, all right, I have to sacrifice some Sundays. You know, we have film, but then we have the rest of the day off. All right, well, I got to go to the engineer building, and I got to do homework for 6 hours, so I'm not, you know, staying up till 1 a.m. because I got to wake up at 5, you know, 3 days a week. So, just actually like making those sacrifices, really, like I'm trying to save time, you know, whether it's sleep or so I can actually perform at practice. Like I mean, my first couple of years, I think my practices were, I was probably like 60% in practice, which is like, that's pretty poor. You should be, but at least 75 in practice. And I was probably less than that even just because I was so tired. You know, I'd go to bed at like 2 a.m. I'd stay up and try to get this homework done and write a lab report for fluids. And I'm like, but you know, yeah, it's, over a course of like 4 or 5 semesters, I finally started figuring out like, this is what works for me. This is how I study. This is how I take notes. You know, even like learning how to study was like a pain in the ass. Like, it took me over a year to figure that out. I spent the whole first semester. I remember we're like 6 weeks into PCHEM and I'm like on week two, because I'm trying to figure out what we talked about week two. And I'm like, I didn't know how to like catch up. I didn't know what resources were around. And that was a big thing too, is just learning what, you know, engineering really had to offer, what, academic support I can get from the athletic department, you know, learning those kind of things too really helped. But yeah, a lot of it was just eventually like getting, you know, getting a disciplined routine is what it came down to.
So when you got that discipline routine, where did you kind of start to see your football performance align with your academic performance? Like what year, kind of what was the moment for you where you're like, okay, football is going up, academics are going up, we kind of have this figured out?
That was probably right after the 18 season. So like my third year, I really started, like, I had a great semester. I had like a 4-0. I was like, wow, I can actually do this. And then I started seeing like this improvement in kicking where I'm like, man, maybe someday I can like potentially start thinking about what I could play beyond college. And then so it took me those whole 3 years to really figure that out. It kind of hit me and I'm like, okay, I can do this. Like it took like one good semester to realize, all right, my plans are working. This is what works for me. I've kind of figured that out. And then, you know, how to balance my time. And then once I was able to balance school and kind of get over that like mental hurdle, I was really kind of was able to reach a new level of kicking, whether that was because I was, you know, less mentally tired, but I was also like more physically recovered. And I think I just saw improvement way faster. And then that's when it kind of like it all took off for me. So
I read that part of the reason that you decided to come to Iowa was because of the engineering program. What do you plan on doing if football doesn't work out post-college? We won't worry about that now, but like what got you into it? Like what inspired you and kind of where do you want to go with that?
Yeah. So in high school, we had like a project lead the way. And so it was like that or like an anatomy class. And I'm like, yeah, I like math a little more. I think I could take one of these. My parents are both engineers. And I was like, so I wasn't quite sure. They both program. Yeah, no, pass, hard pass. EPS 2, no, not for me. But no, they were like, so I was like, oh, maybe I have like an app for that. I took a couple of those classes and I realized, oh, this is kind of interesting. Like, you know, there's a little bit of fun with the math. I mean, most people would say that, but you know, you have a little freedom with what you do. And then I get to college and I was undeclared, didn't know what I wanted to do. Took PCAM and then I talked to my advisor. I go, hey, what engineers don't have to take PCAM too? And I came down, like it was like industrial and civil. And I was like, ah, I could do civil. It's pretty broad. You know, I could do a lot with it. And then, yeah, from there I like realized, oh, I really like structural engineering. And I was like, then I started veering my degree towards that. And really worked out. And my mom also helped too. She's like, I think you'd be a good civil engineer. Don't get an industrial engineering degree. I don't know what you're going to do with it. And so yeah, a little bit of help, a little bit of luck too, I think, but that all worked out for the better.
So one person I actually wanted to talk a little about was LeVar Woods and how a lot of people love giving him his kudos and his attention to detail. But what is he like behind the scenes with you guys that keeps you so locked in and engaged all the time? Because that special teams unit is a staple of every, you know, you need all three phases. But the special teams unit at Iowa has always been a staple of being consistently always there to show up. What is that like behind the scenes with him?
You said attention to detail. I think that's Coach Woods to a T. Like if I had to describe like him in, you know, a phrase, that's it. So like my first couple of years, we didn't really have a position coach. So we had like coaches would all help out with different pieces of special teams. So we didn't have an exact like coach to come to our meetings. So we'd have our own meetings, you know, they'd take like 10, 15 minutes because we'd watch 10 reps. Whereas most groups have 40 to 50 reps to watch. So we'd be done. We'd go play pool, play ping pong, you know, whatever it was. But then Coach Woods came in and then now, so we have, I think today we had like 10 or 11 reps total at practice. And, you know, we spent an hour and a half breaking down the film. You know, what'd you feel on this kick? What could you do differently? Ask 100 questions and then you kind of have open conversation. Like, hey, I thought this was good, but somebody make a suggestion here and we kind of have that little talk. And then that would go beyond just a specialist room. You know, he'd do that with like the punt return unit, the punt unit, kickoff unit, whatever it is, not just us. And then, so I think his just attention, detail, and thoroughness was huge in our special teams. So.
And one player that was in the room with you for a better part of your career is Keith Duncan. And you guys have a good relationship. What was it like competing with him every day, you know, pushing each other? And what did you guys take from each other, or what could you say you've taken from him during your time?
So one of the first things I learned when I got here was, you know, one of the big phrases we preach is iron sharpens iron. And I think Keith and I was, as we competed, I wasn't seeing it, but, you know, looking back at old film and then where I was at after, you know, our competition for a couple of years, it's just, I mean, I'm 100 times better than I was back then. I thought I was good. And I'm like, man, I couldn't hit a half the stadium if I tried. But no, it is, it was a lot of fun competition. We saw so much improvement each year just from it, because, you know, obviously we both wanted to play and we both knew that it was going to take the best. And then, but then just seeing that standard constantly get higher and higher and higher, like, you know, our field goal percentage was so like here, and then next camp or next spring it's here. Okay, well, we're still competing, and next thing you know, it's here. But that's just because the competition was always, I always thought it was close, and I just thought, I really appreciate the competition, because, you know, maybe the kicker I am, and, you know, I'd like to think I had a part in some of his success. So, but no, I mean, looking back on it, I really appreciate just having that competition, with, and especially with such a great guy, you know, we're good friends outside of football. So it made it more bearable. I don't know if that's the right word, but
no, no, that makes complete sense. You guys weren't like enemies. Like, you guys enjoyed being in each other's presence.
Yeah. Like, I wanted him to do well, and he wanted me to do well. And, you know, there's that mutual respect too, because we both knew we were working our asses off to get better. So,
kind of like to pivot a little off of college football, just because the NFL is in gigantic swing right now. Where's your allegiance fall?
For the NFL?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have an NFL team.
Wow. Why? No. Like, what? You just haven't had to?
No, I just, you know, I grew up watching college football more than I watched the NFL. And then, you know, when I did watch NFL, I wanted to watch specialists by the time I got interested in it. And so it was kind of like, oh, who has good specialists? And then, you know, it was the Ravens for a little bit. And then, you know, but if I had to choose, I know my dad had Viking stuff hanging out in the house. So I think if I had to pick a team when I was little, it'd definitely been the Vikings. So fair.
So who are some of the kickers or specialists you study, or you're kind of like, you know, I want to do this kind of like them, or, you know, you learn something from watching their game? Like,
yeah. So I typically watch the Bears kicker, actually, Carlos Santos, because he's a little smaller in stature, so he's a little more related to how I kick. Someone like Harrison Butker, I can't watch him. I'm not 6'5". I can't hit a ball 70 yards like that. Like, it's just physically, like, I can't do it. But so if I watch guys like, yeah, Carlos Santos, trying to think who else, Dan Bailey, when he was around, he's a smaller guy too. So I could watch his, you know, my technique mirrored his a little bit more than, yeah, like I said, even Justin does. Yeah, he's so unique. But no, so yeah, guys like kind of like, they're basically my size, and I think they're both like top 10 in the NFL field goal percentage. So yeah, these are guys I watch all the time.
And what are your goals like for this season? Like, what are some of your like goals in terms of performance or things you were working on going into the off season, into this season? Can you kind of dive into that a little bit of how you kind of build up your goals and kind of set a plan for yourself going into this season, taking over the first team field goal?
Yeah. You know? So like, So in the off season, a lot of it, like, my goals are really kind of depending on how I'm kicking. Like, if I'm missing left, I'm trying to dissect what I'm doing. And so, like, yeah, this year is a little bit my follow through. I was trying to get a little more straight downfield rather than coming across the ball. But no, in season. So we have like team goals. Like, I know we want, so like our returns, like less than a certain number. And then we want like above like an 80% field goal rate. So those are the goals. But so I don't have like, you know, for being honest, I don't have really numbered goals. When I go out there, so I have a set routine when I'm on the sideline. I want to be able to look back after the game and go, okay, did I do my routine? If I didn't, why didn't I do it? And then what was the outcome? Like, so if I do my routine, I know I'm going to give myself the best chance for success. My body's going to be in the right, maybe the right headspace. My body's going to feel good enough to go out there and, you know, ultimately hit what I hope will be the best ball. You know, and if I don't, like, I think it was the first game, our first touchdown was a 60-yard TD run by. Too good. I was trying to find my helmet. I wasn't thinking we're going to score right there. So I get out there and I shank a PAT, and I go, oh my God, I almost missed a PAT. But then like after the game, it's like, yeah, I didn't do my routine. I didn't get loose. I didn't do anything. And then, so like my goal every game is to, you know, compete with myself to repeat that routine, be able to say, I gave myself the best chance for success. Cause only what it is kicking wise, I think, I don't know. Keith would probably test the same thing. Is being able to put yourself in the same space every time. Like if I'm in practice, I want to be hitting and feeling the exact same as I'm in a game. I don't want my heart to be, I don't want to be practicing, you know, with a heart rate of 150 and then go out in a game and do such a good job, keep my heart rate above 100 that I don't feel the same, because that's hard to replicate. But if I go out there and I'm practicing with, you know, say my heart rate's 90 and my body's pretty loose, I want to be able to go out in the game and have my heart rate at 90 and, you know, feel just as loose. So that's ultimately what my goals are, just get to that point and then So if I'm not doing that, then I'm probably not going to give myself a very, very good chance for success.
Yeah. Talking about routine, I love asking a lot of the athletes we have on this question, but do you have a specific pre-game routine or post-game routine? And do you have any superstitions before the games?
I used to be really superstitious. And then, you know, over the course of my career, it's kind of, I've had some bad luck with like injuries and, you know, losing a job. I kind of just like realized, I mean, for me, that's all just smoke and mirrors, but no, I do have like the night before we have like a preset schedule for like our meals and our meeting times. But then, so I know I have like a 2-hour break where I'm going to call my mom during that time. And I'm going to get like I bring a Theragun and a stretch band. So I spend that time. I use that for like 30 minutes. And then the other hour I'm playing cards with a couple of guys. Like we play euchre. That's just part of my Friday night routine, or, you know, if it's a Friday game, my Thursday night routine. But then in the morning of, it's we have a pregame meal. I basically just chill and watching, you know, College Game Day until that. And then after that, you know, get in the shower. I'll stretch a little bit after that again. And then by then it's time to go downstairs. We have our film, our meeting, and then we're on the bus. And then on the bus, I have a set playlist I listen to every game. And then we get to the stadium.
What's the first song?
First song? I don't know. I have my playlist is, I could probably pull it up. I do at random. I have like.
Is it all right? Well, is it like a rap, country, rock?
No. Okay. What genre would you say, like Simple Man, acoustical version? What would you say that is?
I mean,
like soft rock.
I was about to say that's just like a soft rock then. Yeah. Yeah. So you're just trying to keep it mellow. You're just trying to keep it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go out and like, I don't need to be amped up to, you know, hit a field goal. I'm trying to stay calm because, you know, I'm trying not to get that amped up. If I do that, I'm gonna pull the ball in the, you know, left pylon or hit somebody in the far left section where I'm, and you know, coach would come chew my ass. So no, it's pretty mellow. And then we have a pretty set routine as a team. Like I know, I think like 98 minutes before the game, I'm going to go out. We're going to do our primer. I'll come back in. Specials come out at 80. And then I have a set number of like reps I generally take. You know, I'm not trying to hit too many balls. I'm trying to get a feel for the wind. And then once I have a feel for the wind, I'm just kind of chilling after that until it's game time.
Where are some of your go-to spots to go get food around Iowa City?
That's a good question. For sure. I like to go Estella's.
Oh.
Best burrito place in town, for sure. I know people tell me, oh, it's Chipotle or Hodge. You're fucking wrong. You're not. Like, you haven't had Estella's then, especially at 2 a.m.
And they don't even, they don't even stay open until 2 a.m. anymore, so.
They don't? Oh, I haven't. Yeah, I don't think I've made it out past, you know, 1:30 in a while, so.
Yeah. So all these young kids won't even know. They won't even get the full old school experience.
They won't get the buff at 2 a.m. They're missing out. What else do I go to? I go to Stella a lot because it's, you know, it's right by my house. I live right by Kinnick, so it's an easy walk.
Here's a good question. I remember this. We interviewed Keith last year around this time, and I remember he said his go-to place, his favorite pizza place, was Poly Eyes. I want to be honest. I had Poly Eyes the first week I got here this year. It might have been, no doubt, the worst pizza I've ever had in my life. Where's your go-to pizza place in Iowa City? Because
go-to pizza place. If my parents are in town, I'm gonna go to Wick and Penn. Spend a little prettier dime. Go to Wick and Penn. Otherwise, I'm getting a breakfast pizza from Casey's.
All right, now that's good because it takes a lot to talk people into having a slice of that, or just saying, "Hey, man, like Casey's actually has the better pizza," and they're like, "No, man, it's from a gas station. You call a general store. Yeah. No way, I'm getting it." It's got character and it's got taste and it fills you up. I mean, two pieces or a piece of that for a pregame, that's all you need. That's a good layer.
Yeah. And if you're complaining about it, you just haven't had it, you're just in the mindset, oh, it's gas station food. It's not. It's gourmet.
Exactly.
Well, and one other place I want to ask you about is I know a bunch of guys on the team, because I've heard plenty of stories, go to Monica's a lot. Are you one of the guys that goes on Monica's runs?
I used to. I wouldn't say that much anymore. No.
Not anymore.
I'd say I'd probably, no. I'd say I'd go to Airliner more than I'd go.
Yeah.
Just because it's a little closer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I get a little more bang for your buck, too.
For sure. So. For sure. One thing I wanted to ask you about is, are there any games now past the Iowa State game, now that we've kind of moved on from that, that you kind of have circled like on your list or on the schedule that you're like, I'm excited just to play in this game? It might not be, you know, for a football reason, but if there's like any teams you're excited to play, date, you know, if are there any games on the schedule that you're like, I'm pumped for this one?
I'd always say Wisconsin, just because like there's like shit talking, but it's like such a mutual respect. Like, we both know we're going to play our style of football, and our styles, both teams hasn't changed in ours 20 years. There's probably what, 15, and everybody's out there know it's going to, you're going to be hitting hard, and it's going to come down to, you know, either a big kick or, you know, a really big offensive drive. So I always love that game just because both teams just stick to what they do, and what they do is just hard hitting football. And so I always love that game. So
yeah, that's a good pick. What has been like the field goal in your career, or the moment, you know, the kickoff, whatever, in your college career so far where you're like, this was one of the coolest moments? And it could even be just an experience, you know, overall. But what's been like a moment where you're just like, this has been a highlight, like this is something I'll always remember?
I think so. The first one comes to mind is my first kickoff in Penn State in 2019. It was so loud. And like, you go out there without fans, it's huge, but like, you start seeing like they do like their sea of white, and I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool. This stadium is huge. So that was like first thing that comes to mind where I go, this is, it's like, it was one of those like humbling experiences where like, oh, I'm playing Big Ten football, and this is like, I can tell my kids someday about how cool this is. But then more fresh my mind and easily would be the Iowa State kick. I think it was like 51.
Yeah,
that was just because it was, you know, I'm trotting out there. I can still hear the fans. I mean, it's pretty loud. My face mask was visibly shaking a little bit, and then it goes quiet and then loud again with Iowa fans. And that's cool. Just hearing that support and like, you know, just be able to, you know, hit a big kick like that against a good team has so far been like one of those. I'll always remember it. I always remember the feeling of ever seeing the ball too. So it was awesome.
That's cool. Well, I wasn't at the game. I was in Iowa City. So one thing I wanted to ask you was, when like you heard Iowa fans, were there a lot of Iowa fans like really present? Like, what would you say the ratio was between state fans and Iowa fans at the game? I'm curious.
It was
TV. They just spotted. So it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I'd say a little bit more than 70-30. It was probably like, I wouldn't say 65-35. Maybe, but probably about that, because they did the Hawkeye chant, and it was like,
oh wow,
I could hear both sides. I'm like, all right, because then it was like, it went quiet, you know, all you could hear was that. I'm like, oh shit, sounds like we're in Kinnick. And so I was like, wow, this is, I mean, there's more people there than you think. You see a lot of red, but you kind of get, it gets all twisted when you have red and gold, you know. I'm like, I don't know who's who, but then you hear, I'm like, all right, they're there. So
Hawkeye takeover.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was sweet. And then later in the game, it got louder. And that's just cool. You know, the fans, you know, enjoy it, and hearing them, hearing the sport it's always fun. So
my final question for you is, what does being a Hawkeye mean to you? You've been here a while, so I'm really curious on what it means for you to be a Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's kind of like an ever-evolving question for me. You know, it was – at first it was, you know, just being a student athlete, kind of having that, just walking around knowing like, hey, like I'm doing things most kids aren't doing. And then, but, you know, ultimately what it is now is, you know, we playing for, you know, the Iowa community. I go out there and I get to represent, you know, some of the best people, and I'd argue in the world, the nicest people, supportive people. You know, I love the term Iowa nice. I mean, fans are intense, but you know, we all have respect for everybody, what everybody does. And I think there's just mutual respect between everyone, and being able to go out and represent that kind of community and, you know, have that community to have your back is just, I mean, it's second to none. And I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. And being able to just say like, I play for that community is, you know, nobody else can say that. You know, we're the only university that can, you know, we play for people that, you know, white collar, blue collar, old, young fans, tickets for, oh, my family's been a season ticket holder for 50 some years. I'm like, so I started thinking back. I think it was like the 60s and 70s. I think the Hawks had like 19 losing seasons. And I'm like, man, you guys, family, you went through that. And I go, that's that's awesome. I'm like, you know, and then so being able to like play for those kind of people and those kind of fans and just that community is, I love it. And yeah, it's like another reason I couldn't leave. I wasn't ready to like say goodbye to something like that. You know, I had the opportunity to play one more year. I was a no brainer. Like, why not just stick around and, you know, enjoy that and soak that in. So
I'm going to finish this up with probably the easiest question that you'll have this entire interview. For the next 63 days, whose state is it?
Hawkeye State, baby.
That's all fucking matters, baby. We can't thank you enough for coming on, man. Like always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.